Workers at a dairy facility in Monroe are striking after the company's new policy on undocumented workers. It's Wednesday, August 20th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, FEMA is headed to Milwaukee, and from Wisconsin Life, a Wisconsin author's story about a family camping trip gone awry. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Three workers at a dairy facility in Monroe are now on strike. As Anja van Wagtendonk reports, they're requesting severance over a new immigration policy at the company that affects many of them.
W&W Dairy was acquired by the National Dairy Farmers of America earlier this month. The new owners implemented E-Verify, which checks workers' citizenship status. That means some workers may be out of a job, so they're on strike and demanding severance that matches the years and even decades that many of them have worked there. One striking worker asked not to be named out of fear of retribution. He said workers had made the company successful. And he hopes other companies don't follow this example. In a statement, Dairy Farmers of America said it's committed to retaining its workforce and to complying with all state and federal labor laws. Anja van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Teams from the Federal Emergency Management Agency will be in Wisconsin tomorrow to assess flood damage in the Milwaukee region. A statement from the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs said joint teams from FEMA and the state will interview residents and business owners to document property damage. That announcement came after every member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation signed a joint letter yesterday calling on FEMA to conduct a timely storm damage assessment. Governor Tony Evers requested the FEMA review on August 13th. Milwaukee Alder Peter Brugelis is eagerly awaiting the agency's appearance.
We've done all the steps that we need to request their assistance. So now we're just waiting for them to do their work and then actually show up.
It's ultimately up to President Trump to issue a major disaster declaration that would pave the way for federal aid. A woman accused of killing two teenagers while driving drunk is back in the Dane County Jail after briefly being held in an immigration detention facility. Rich Kramer has more.
Noelia Martinez Avila was charged with multiple felony counts of homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle after she was involved in a crash last month. She became the center of a custody battle between the Dane County Sheriff's Office and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The department denied an ICE detainer request last month. After she posted a $250,000 bond, Martinez Avila was arrested by ICE last week and held for deportation. At prosecutor's request, a Dane County judge raised Martinez Avila's bail to $5 million and ordered her back to the jail in Madison. She was returned Friday night. Since her arrest, ICE has accused Dane County of being a sanctuary jurisdiction. Sheriff Barrett has said deporting Martinez Avila before her trial would be a get-out-of-jail-free card. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A 30-year-old nutrition assistance program in Wisconsin will be eliminated by the end of next month, laying off 90 educators. The University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension's FoodWise program employs educators statewide. They teach families about nutrition, cooking, and strategies for managing limited food budgets. The federal budget bill passed last month by congressional Republicans and signed by President Donald Trump will stop funding the program at the end of September. Amber Canto of the Extension told WPR's Wisconsin Today that educators work with food pantries, schools, and child care centers.
We are currently working with our state team and leadership to assess what other options and pathways we might be able to continue to provide information to the public, whether that be online, through other alternative sources, to our partners.
Kanto said Foodwise hopes grants and local donations can allow the program to continue. Coming up, a Wisconsin author on the highs and lows of a family camping trip. Stay with us.
Be fully awake to your day with Wisconsin Today.
Hi, I'm Rob Ferret.
I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
Wisconsin Today is a great chance to bring people around the state together and realize we kind of all share the same neighborhood, even though we don't see each other.
And also attending to the news of the day in our state through that lens and understanding the world around us. That's really what I love about Wisconsin Today. Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about the lessons learned on a family camping trip.
Taking the kids camping usually sounds like a great idea, until it's not. Author BJ Hollers brings us a story about the trials and triumphs of the family camping trip.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. With those famous words, Charles Dickens opened his classic novel, which, if you read no further, might very well be a book about camping. Ah, camping, the foolhardiest of summer traditions. The chance to dust off the tent, unfurl the sleeping bags, and pretend that you enjoy the outdoors. And all the better if you actually do. And we did, at least for a little while. As my children and I pulled into our campsite at Coon Fork Campground 30 miles east of Eau Claire. Standing at the edge of our site, we peered out at the glistening 62-acre lake, while overhead the birds welcomed us with song. My 8-year-old son shimmied beneath my left arm, my 6-year-old daughter took refuge beneath my right. Together, we all inhaled a gallon-sized breath of cool Wisconsin air. It was the best of times, indeed. Right up until the storm struck a few hours later, sending us speeding back to the comforts of our home. Warm beds never felt so good. Returning to our site the following morning, I was relieved to find that the weather gods had taken pity on us. Our tent had not become a houseboat as I'd feared, merely a waterbed. No matter, it was nothing 10 absorbent towels couldn't fix. Our return to Coon Fork the morning following the storm came with an added challenge. Our 9-month-old baby, who was destined to enjoy her first day of camping while my wife went off to work. Perhaps enjoy is too strong a word. Maybe endure is more accurate. Which she did, suffering little more than a forehead scrape after a topple from the cooler while Daddy extinguished an unplanned cookstove fire that had scorched our lunch. Best of times, indeed. When my wife and the puppy pulled into our campsite at day's end, she witnessed a scene pulled not from the pages of Dickens, but William Golding's Lord of the Flies. We were scraped, sunburned, hungry, tired, and trapped in a soggy tent. "How's it going?" she asked. The baby wailed. Sometime after midnight, I woke to the sound of my wife searching frantically in the dark for a diaper. We searched by cell phone glow as the baby's discomfort grew. "I think one's in the van," my wife whispered. Untangling myself from my sleeping bag, I high-stepped over the snoozing puppy, tripped on the lip of the tent, had a run-in with some overly confident raccoons, and at last retrieved the diaper as directed. Then I reversed course, past those raccoons, over the tent lip, and atop the snoozing puppy. Proudly, I handed the diaper to my wife. "And the wipes?" she asked. I sighed. After that second trip to the van, I lingered on the edge of that star-filled lake stretched before me, listening to the nighttime serenade from insects I probably couldn't name. It wasn't the sound, but the stillness that stays with me, a stillness that seemed to neutralize the many mishaps that had compounded throughout the day. I took in one last gallon-sized breath before returning to the tent, where, upon entering, I saw my entire world snoozing safely together, a pile of legs, arms, and stuffed animals all woven together. I reached for my sleeping bag, only to find that the puppy had since commandeered it as his own. Well played, dog. Well played. Finding a spot on the tent's damp floor, I reached for a towel, closed my eyes, and took my place in the pile. It was the best of times, indeed.
BJ Hollers is a writer and assistant professor at University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Carl Christensen.
And finally, a quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. Some light rain is possible in far southwestern Wisconsin to start the day today. Could see a few sprinkles in far eastern Wisconsin later this morning as well. Otherwise, a mix of sunshine and clouds today, pretty mild with high temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. Patchy fog across Wisconsin tonight with lows in the 50s and 60s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Courtney Everett and John Davis. Hey, make sure to leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening on your favorite podcast app. It helps other people find the show, but also, we love hearing from you. Want to find out what you like about the show? You can leave that rating and review wherever you're listening right now. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.